to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 192.
Dang.
It's been a while.
192 episodes.
It's been a while since we've podcast.
It's a lot of episodes.
We're getting so close to 199 episodes.
We have, this is Dad, and I have Henry.
Hello.
Will.
Hello.
And Mom here with us.
Hi.
And we've got the whole family that lives in this house together for a podcast. A very special podcast.
Because there's absolutely nothing better for any of us to do.
That's fair.
That's one reason, but also we're to tell about our experience, our unique travel experience. So
yes,
normally we don't like to talk too much about, because I don't know, I don't think people normally want to hear people's vacation stories necessarily, because I don't know, it's just like hearing about someone else going on a vacation. Yeah. But our vacation is extremely topical.
I mean, we went on vacation, we had a nice time, we came back, and it was a good vacation.
Yeah, we might elaborate just a little bit more than that. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that the last couple of podcasts, we were very nervous about the fact that we had planned this vacation a long, long time ago to travel to Rome, Italy on vacation. Everything was planned. I had a very detailed itinerary. We had different places we were going to stay, different things we were going to see.
But then,
and it went fine.
And leading up to the vacation, we got a little nervous.
Yeah, because like we were hearing all these reports of coronavirus in Italy, but we figured like, oh, it's only in northern Italy. It's not in Rome. It'll be fine.
Everything has kind of changed since then, even from the time we left on our vacation. So leading up to the vacation, we were very nervous, very anxious. I was particularly anxious about, are we even going to get to go on this vacation?
And I will say,
I was more nervous about, will we be able to come home from vacation? Like, will things deteriorate quickly while we're there?
I worried about that a bit more later in the vacation.
Okay, spoilers.
For what it's worth, the first like 2 or 3 days of our vacation were awesome.
It was all good.
So, other than the last, anyway.
I think maybe we should just tell the story like literally.
Linearly.
We're going to tell it from start to finish. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to start from the beginning. We're going to tell the middle, and at the end, we're going to tell the end.
Dang.
Okay.
We may jump around a little bit, but for the most part, this story has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yes.
That's what makes it a story.
There is a Sesame Street song about that. Every story has a beginning, middle, and an end. That's what makes it a story.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, we recorded a bunch of podcasts, knowing that we would be gone.
We do record podcasts.
We sort of teased that we didn't know for sure whether we'd be able to go on our vacation because there was a chance it might get canceled or postponed or something. We got on an airplane on Friday, March 6th, I guess it was.
Before we talk about the airplane, the airport was like completely just empty.
It was fairly empty.
Fairly empty.
The Dallas-Fort Worth airport was not that empty. There was a decent amount of people there.
Yeah,
the lack of lines and the lack of people on those first couple of airlines was like our first miracle.
Yeah. Well, our first flight, so we flew on kind of a small jet from Dallas-Fort Worth to Montreal, Canada. We were flying on Air Canada, was our airlines. I'd never flown Air Canada before. It was fine. It was a small jet. We were kind of at the back of the plane. I think that flight was actually fairly full. Maybe not totally packed, but fairly full. So we took off without incident from Dallas to Montreal. I think by the time we got to Montreal, I started noticing things are a little bit different.
I'd like to point out that there were even more people flying to Canada than there were people flying to Italy.
Yeah. So we were flying this little regional jet that probably held, I don't know, maybe 30 people.
Yeah. It was a small.
It was one of those planes that kind of looks like it's a bus in the air, you know.
It was a nice one.
Not a really big plane. It was fine. I think it was some sort of Airbus plane.
But then there was the trip from Montreal to Rome.
And that was awesome.
It was great.
It was so awesome.
It was great.
So we flew on this big jumbo jet. from Montreal to Rome.
Huge.
And
huge
I would
plane.
Say that there was about, so the like plane. Bus plane, like, that had about how many people do you think?
I don't know. It's a jumbo jet. So probably when I would it's say full, it's got to be like, well, yeah, people, but right?
from DFW many. To Montreal, how many people do you think were on that plane?
From DFW to Montreal. So I think that plane probably holds about 30 people.
Okay. So I'm guessing that there were about half of that.
There was probably about 25.
I think that was
like on for the trip to Montreal to Rome. I bet there's about that many people on the jumbo jet.
I think that was the plane where we watched Knives Out, which is now
after rewatching
it, it's now one of my favorite movies of 2019.
So we get on this jumbo jet in Montreal to fly to Rome. One thing I noticed was like there weren't that many people waiting to get on a plane. Usually when you're flying international, there's like a whole bunch of people in the waiting area. And I remember we were sitting there and I think our boarding group was like boarding group 4 or something like that. And they had just started boarding, but I was like, all right, guys, let's just sort of get up and move toward the gate just in case they call us. And suddenly like they had just started boarding and I hear last call for our flight, last call. And I'm like, oh, wow, I guess we better get on the flight. We get on there and there are maybe like 24 people in this giant jumbo jet where like the coach where we were, it was like 3-3-3, three seats on the side, three seats in the middle and three seats on the end.
It was so great.
And our family, like where we were supposed to all be sitting,
towards
maybe
the
it was
middle.
Four seats in the middle. Cause we all had like all the middle seats.
No, it was three. And then
was it 3-3-3?
It was 3-3-3 because I was sitting on the right. I'm on seats on the right.
Anyway, I think you had like...
No,
you,
it wasn't.
The way that our seat assignments were, it was like we had all three middle ones and they had one aisle. So like all together, but one of us was in like the separate section. But it turned out like there was no one on our whole row. There was no one in the row in front of us and there was no one in the row behind us.
Not
so
only
the boys
that.
Got like their own row.
Yeah. It was like going
there
to a
were,
movie theater.
There,
with like
there
no
was
one
no
there.
One. There was no one, not just in front but or behind us.
In our section, there's like one person.
There were like three empty rows ahead and in back of us.
I got to lay down and sleep.
Yeah,
it was so great.
And everyone kind of had that. Like if you looked behind us, there were a few people behind us, but it was like it was like one person per row. So the boys both had like their side of the airplane. They could lay down. They could lift up all the armrests. Mom and I sort of had like. We had two seats in the middle three. Allison, your mother.
Yeah, I looked around.
All of the pillows and all of the blankets.
About five of the pillows because I'm short. And so I was like, oh my gosh, there are all these extra pillows. I could totally like stack them and make like a really cushy footrest for myself. So I did. And then I was like, and there are extra blankets. So I ended up, I have a hard time sleeping. I just have a hard time sleeping, but especially if I'm not at home at night in my own bed.
Yeah.
Especially on airplanes, though.
But like, I really like I've taken like sleeping
airplanes
pills before on planes
be really
and still
bad.
Not gotten a minute of sleep. So anyway, I propped up my feet on this big pile of pillows, and then I reclined all the way, and there's nobody behind me to complain, and I got I had a blanket to keep warm, but then I thought. It's just a little bit bright, not like actually bright because they kind of dim the lights, but I took an extra blanket and draped it between my headrest and the headrest in front of me and
you
made like this blanket
like
fort. I made a blanket fort.
An airplane blanket fort.
Yes, it was my blanket fort because of solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and I didn't sleep, but it was so restful. I loved it. I was so comfortable.
You didn't sleep. But
I really cannot sleep.
For it, so.
I really cannot sleep on airplanes.
I'm still trying to get
so comfortable.
I really can't get past the fact that I actually slept for more than an hour on
yes,
an airplane on an international flight.
Hours. When in the morning, I could actually tell that I fell asleep at some point.
So William and Henry are just laying down across a row of seats.
It was so
sleeping.
Great.
The flight attendants were super friendly. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
Because they really didn't have that much to do. So they were just really friendly. When they came by and they gave us meals,
they were like, you want an extra one? Yeah, because
we have fish. Do you want both? You can have, no, it was chicken and pasta, I think. Mm-hmm. There's chicken or pasta. Do you want both? You can have three if you want.
Pretty good.
Which I've never had like an airplane offer me extra food before.
No.
Usually they're like, well, I guess you can have this and... you know, if you're lucky, maybe we'll give you the full can of Coke.
Yeah. Mm. So a disclaimer, because of the times we live in, we did bring a whole bunch of antibacterial wipes and hand sanitizer. Yes.
We brought so much hand sanitizer. I was lucky and actually found some travel sized hand sanitizer before we left, which was hard to find already.
It was. Mm. And we wiped down with our antibacterial wipes. We wiped down like every inch of every row that we occupied, and we occupied three rows.
And I would say on this vacation, I used more hand sanitizer in that vacation than I had used up to that point in my life before. In 1 week, I used more hand sanitizer than I had ever used in my previous 47 years on this planet.
I mean, I've used a lot.
I haven't used as much as you have, but I used a lot on our vacation.
Okay, yeah. I was in kindergarten once, so...
I didn't have hand sanitizer when I was in kindergarten. So.
I was a room mother during the swine flu epidemic.
I just find it funny that, like, all those people back in the day that we shrugged off saying, like, wash your hands for 20 seconds, guys. Like, they were right all along.
Yep. They were absolutely right.
Yeah, all right, we absolutely should.
So we fly...
I feel so vindicated.
From Montreal to Rome. We get to Rome, and it's... And everything went pretty well. The Rome airport was fine. We get off the plane. I kind of got lost a little bit in the airport because I was trying to find where we got our SIM cards for our phones. But that was fine. We figured that out. We got our SIM cards. We found the driver that was going to pick us up and take us to our first Airbnb. And that first day in Rome was pretty fun. I hadn't really scheduled a whole lot because I figured, oh, we'll just have a relaxing day in Rome to wander around. And at that point, Rome was pretty normal. There wasn't a whole lot strange about what was going on in Rome.
Other than the number of people there.
Yeah, I mean, there were people.
But it was usually super crowded, and it wasn't super crowded. Yeah, there were not the crowds that Rome is known for. And it wasn't empty either, though. There were people wandering around. It was just many fewer people.
It was like when
we
went to Portugal.
There's lots of seagulls, too.
Many fewer people than there normally are in Rome. And... what did we do? The first thing we did, we checked into our Airbnb, and then there was a little bakery across the street where we went and got some Roman pizza. That was tasty. Mm-hmm. And the lady there, I remember when she spoke really good English, and she was asking, she said, are you going to have to be quarantined when you go home? And I said, well, I will be because my work is requiring it, but I'm not sure about the rest of the family. Maybe we'll see what happens.
At that point,
we hadn't heard anything from our school district about whether, you know, how they were going to handle people returning from spring break. I kind of figured probably they would need to stay home from school for a couple of weeks, but we didn't hear, like, our school district didn't come up with a policy until like a couple of days into our vacation.
Although we've been quarantined anyways because everyone's quarantined.
There are so many things we said on that vacation. We did not know that. There's so
the
many things we said and did on that vacation that we're looking back on and like laughing sarcastically.
Yeah.
So you're so naive.
Everything was open except for, I think, the catacombs were closed.
Yeah.
Across the whole country in Italy, the catacombs were closed. But catacombs are like tombs beneath the ground.
Oh.
And I will say, everything that you had heard about Rome, they had like a mile away from our apartment.
Yeah. Our apartment was very central. We could Pantheon. Walk to all the sites.
Okay. But like, it was crazy because like I think our apartment is on like a certain road. I think if you turn there, just be like, oh, hey, look, the Colosseum.
Yeah, we actually accidentally ran into the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
So we were walking around. We walked over to the Pantheon. Speaking of, we saw the Pantheon. There weren't very many crowds. You could walk right in. You didn't have to stand in line. There was a cool fountain in front of it. You know, it was like there were people around, but nothing was crowded. We walked. What else did we see? We saw Trevi Fountain.
Mm-hmm. Saw Spanish Steps.
And most people, you know, most of the people say Trevi Fountain's really cool, but there's always just a ton of crowds around it. There were not that many crowds.
There was a crowd, but not multiple. Yeah.
I mean, you could find a spot on a bench and still stay a meter away from other people.
Yeah, you could walk right up to the fountain, which I think is unusual.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've told you guys this before, but I'm going to say it on the podcast. The most Roman thing I saw that day, and probably in the entire vacation, was a seagull eating a piece of pizza on top of a statue of Neptune in a fountain.
Yeah, yep. It was pretty cool. Just so eating a little square piece of pizza. Mm-hmm. We also saw a seagull dragging a rat around.
That was very strange.
That was
gross. I can't unsee that, actually. I think I purposely forgot that, and then you just reminded me.
We saw like the coolest like ancient Roman statue ever of this like hooded monk guy that was looking super edgy.
That was in the Campo dei Fiori market. Oh, it's,
and like on top of it was thing, just like a sequel.
Yeah.
Completely random.
Well, it's funny because it's this very brooding emo looking
monk. If it was a raven,
monk.
It would have worked, but it was a seagull.
It was a seagull.
And we ate, had gelato for the first time on our vacation. Mm. Very good gelato. So from, good.
But not for the last time on our vacation.
From Will's orchestra director's favorite gelato shop in Rome.
Yeah.
And it was very, very good.
It was really good.
We saw kind of the usual sights. We saw the Spanish Steps. We saw Navona Piazza. Just kind of walked around Central Rome and just took it all in. And it was beautiful. And the buildings are beautiful. And every time we walked past an alley, I wanted to take a picture just because everything was so scenic. And there weren't like, you know, big crowds of tourists in the way. You could take really good pictures.
The good days we had in Rome were really good.
Yeah.
Like,
so
we had so much
we'll
fun
get
on the first
to that
day.
In just a minute.
So the next day we go back to the Airbnb and we're all kind of exhausted at that point because of the time change and, you know, just walking around, but it was a good time. And we go to sleep. I think everybody actually slept that night, which was nice. And we wake up and we walk to the train station, to the Termini train station, which is like the big train station in Rome.
Bright
and we
early.
Stop. We stopped along the way and got some croissants at a little coffee shop. Mm-hmm. They were really tasty. Got a little bit of juice.
Their orange juice is like bright red.
Yeah. Because they make it from like these Italian like blood orange.
But they're not like blood oranges here.
But they're sort of like
they're
a
darker.
Little bit. Yeah.
They're good.
They're really good. And we make it to the train station. I figure out how to buy train tickets. And we get on a train to Tivoli, which is kind of in eastern Rome. And it's this place where like a lot of the rich people from Rome had like palaces and it's really scenic because it's kind of up on this cliffside and there's a ravine and there are all these waterfalls. And there's a big scenic bridge. And we get there. And the first
waterfalls.
Thing we do when we get out is we get out of the train station. There were other people on the train. Mm-hmm. It was the weekend. So I think there were tourists going to Tivoli. Not a ton, but you know, it's kind of a touristy
there
place.
Was some.
We get off the train. We walk over to a place called the Villa Gregorina.
And that's when we figured out that...
And we go up to the gate, and there's a person there saying, I'm sorry, we're closed. And I'm like, okay, well, how come... And there's, because there's a national order that everywhere is closed.
And I would like to point out, on our way there on the train, our mom actually told us that we would be quarantined, like, afterwards.
Yeah, I got the email from the school district.
Yeah,
okay,
so we got the email on the train that you guys would have to be quarantined when we got back.
And I gotta say, when I figured that out, I went into, like, full edgy teen mode. Like, I was, like...
he was not
in
happy.
In my head, I was thinking of, like, my, like, super dramatic, like...
And you were like, oh, no.
Like, video that I was gonna post on YouTube about me ranting about how, like, the media is... Pushing all these corona.
But meanwhile,
I was so mad.
Meanwhile, what did I tell you though? I was reassuring you that probably by the time we got back, they would cancel school anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And
now.
At the rate
it was going in the United States.
Yeah, I'm
so
yeah.
We go to Tivoli, and I'm like, well, that's weird. So we can't go to the main. There were two main gardens I wanted to visit in Tivoli, and they were both closed. So I was like, all right, well, we can't do that. We kind of walked up the road a little bit so we could see this waterfall, really cool waterfall. But it was a place I would hoped we would hike to because this garden was like a place you can hike down into this gorge and then back up the other side. So instead of doing that, we just kind of wandered around the old town. And the old town in Tivoli was actually really cool.
It was really cool, yeah.
And we kind of had all the streets to ourselves because it wasn't very crowded. There were people there, but not very many people. And we walked through and we saw the old cathedral. And the old cathedral was really cool.
There's lots of cats and dogs walking
And
around.
There were like all these places like you would go down this little alley and suddenly there'd be this really beautiful courtyard. Oops. Really beautiful courtyard with like a fountain or a water fountain.
At one point, like... church bells started ringing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really
cool.
Creepy.
I thought it was so pretty.
Sounded really cool.
I liked how creepy.
And it's all
it
like up on a hillside. So sometimes you get this really good view. And we're walking around. And there's a really good restaurant in Tivoli. And I hadn't planned on eating there because I figured, well, it's sort of the place like you have to get reservations in advance if you're going to get there. But because there were no crowds, we got to walk right in.
And just say, like, hey, can we have a reservation around lunch? And then, like,
they're like, sure, just come back.
Like, not like we're going to have any business anyways.
Yeah, so we ate a really good meal in Tivoli.
They had...
I think the restaurant's called Sibylla.
What do they have for appetizers again?
Really, really good.
It's called Sibylla, and it's attached to the temple of, like, if you go out onto their patio, you can see.
It's just like something, like.
It's the temple of
Sibylla. Like, wow, like Roman architecture just right there.
It's like this Roman temple right there, and it's right on a cliffside, and it's super scenic.
I love, we had a couple of these in Portugal and Mexico City. I love fancy restaurants that are, like, cartoonishly fancy, where, like, they'll, like, take your coat or your jacket, and they'll, like, offer, like, multiple courses, like, and stuff like that.
Okay, one thing I think that's important to specify.
Give you your orange Fanta and a wine glass.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is super important to specify is that while we were there, we had Tivoli ravioli, since we were in Tivoli and we had ravioli. It's a very important thing to specify.
I hope you're not pointing that out yet.
I have, a lot.
Yes.
Just block
Tivoli ravioli is memorable. And
so
delicious.
So we ate lunch, and then we walked around the town some more and kind of walked around. There was a castle there, kind of a really cool castle that kind of looked like a storybook castle, like that a little kid would draw.
We accidentally ran into a castle.
It had four towers. And it was funny because we were kind of walking around. I was like, I know there's a castle around somewhere. And I turn around and it's like, oh,
there's a castle.
It was like right in the middle of it. Like,
right in the middle of
it. Kind of a generic, like, urban
area. You feel like you're in this just city street. And then you turn around and, hey, there's a castle there.
So there's like kind of a historic center of this town that just looks like, you know, all cute and medieval and like very... You know, like it's been well preserved, but the castle is actually like in the middle of this modern looking main street.
Just a generic like urban area,
but
and
the
castle, also a castle.
Looked just like a castle should. It looked like a castle, like if you were thinking, oh, I'm going to make a really cool sandcastle, it looked like that.
I can't remember if we saw any other castles, but that was probably
the castle
my favorite.
Of all castles.
Yeah, I did. There were a couple of others.
So we actually had a pretty good time. We took a lot of pictures. We walked kind of all around the old town. And then we walked back to the train station. And I probably should have planned that part a little better because we ended up waiting for the train for a long, long time. A
couple hours, yeah.
But we got back on the train and rode it back to Rome. But did we do anything that night after we got back to Rome? It's pretty late. Maybe we just went to
didn't
bed.
We go to the... Is that the day that we went to
pizza.
The...
Oh, yeah, we went to a really good restaurant. So one of my coworkers had recommended a restaurant in Rome. So we got back to the train station. We rode the subway to this restaurant that was kind of like in the basement of this old building.
Mm-hmm.
And they had excellent pizza.
One of their pizzas had like, it had no tomato sauce and it had like orange slices on it.
It had thin orange slices.
It is way better than
oranges.
That sounds.
But it was really, really good.
Yeah, it sounds and, like, horrible, but it's actually weirdly great.
Looking back.
Like, I know, like, at first I was like, oh, it's just another one of those things where like they pretend it's fancy by throwing a bunch of stuff on it. But it was actually good, weirdly.
It was so
looking
good.
Back, I don't think it's that America pizza is different than Italian pizza. I think it's more like American pizza is just one type of Italian pizza.
Because
there they'd have it like have it like in square pieces where you'd like eat a square or like
they had a lot of different types of pizza.
They'd have orange slices on it.
All of it was delicious.
Lots of different kinds of pizza.
So
we had like dessert there and then we were pretty full and tired and we rode the metro home, walked back to our apartment, went to bed. And then the next day we woke up and I was trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do this next day? Because the plan had been we're going to take a tour of the
Colosseum
and the Roman Forum, but we knew that wasn't going to happen because they were closed. So instead of that, we just kind of woke up, we walked over to where the Forum is. And it was actually kind of cool because you could see into the Forum. You just couldn't go there and you couldn't do a tour, but you could still see a lot of the sites.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see into the Forum. We walked up to this terrace where it was like this big balcony where you see all the old ruins.
Yeah. They had all these like busts of people. Wait, is that the day that where you saw all the busts of like historical figures? Oh, I'm thinking somewhere else.
No.
It was the same day, but it was later.
It was much later.
Oh, it was
different,
the day,
different part of Rome.
Yeah. So we walk around and we're just kind of enjoying it all. It was a really nice day. The weather was great. And that day I noticed there were even fewer people in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
like we had a lot of places just kind of all to ourselves.
Is this the day that we used the bathroom at that one place?
I stole a bathroom.
That was so awkward.
I totally stole the bathroom.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
We'll get that.
Mom's crime spree.
So we walk around the really historic place where all the old forums are. We walk past one of the big museums, but of course the museum wasn't open. And then we walk to a place that's called the Jewish Ghetto because it's where all the Jewish people... lived in ancient Rome all the way to today. There's still Jewish people that live there.
And they love the Jewish ghetto.
And we ate at a restaurant that was really good. And they had just excellent food. And they had a little dog, a little corgi dog.
Greatly improved the experience.
Such a cute little dog.
Yeah.
And the dog just kind of came up to us and came under our table. And
he would just like, if you started petting him, then he would just like stop what he was doing, just like pet him.
Yeah.
He did that thing that I think all dogs do where they'll just like, she, whatever. You know how like dogs will just like whenever anyone's eating, they'll just like circle around the table, just looking for someone to
like just in case you drop something.
Just in case.
I was talking to the waiter when you went to the bathroom there. I was like, "What's the dog's name?" And he was like, "Molly."
Which, by the way, for context, it could have either been Molly or Mole. And yeah, Mole Mexican word for sauce, like guacamole.
But these are not Spanish speakers, so I don't know. It might have been Molly.
They were cooks. Italy, like, I think it was Mole.
Maybe in Italy, everyone names their dogs like Dazzy and Mole.
I don't know.
Food was really good.
Anyway, but he was saying that she really likes the pasta.
Henry had some gnocchi that was really good.
Basically grits.
Really excellent eggplant parmesan.
I get falafel every Mediterranean place I go.
William got some falafel because it was like Jewish and Italian. So there was like Middle Eastern food plus Italian food, and all the food was just really, really good. And it was like a highly recommended restaurant, but we just walked
in. It was
so
good.
Had no problem getting a table.
It was so great.
And then like just a few doors down from that, there was like a really famous Jewish bakery that sell these cakes that are like filled with ricotta cheese. Mm-hmm. And we got a couple slices of that. And we sat on a bench in the Jewish ghetto eating that. And it was really delicious.
That was one of those moments when I really felt like I was having like the Italian experience. Cause like, there's a guy that went over and just like had his violin and was just like tuning it and like,
and like playing soft
in the plaza there.
I guess I skipped one thing. One thing we did do. So there's a church there. I can't remember the name of the church. It was like a really old church, kind of famous church in Rome. And it has in front of it called the Mouth of Truth. Boca de Veritas.
The legend goes that if you stick your hand in it and you're a liar, then it'll bite your hand off. But we weren't allowed to put our hand in it.
It's famously in the movie Roman Holiday.
Yes.
It looks so weird.
Where Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant.
Cary Grant, yeah.
They're both lying.
And we were I kind of thought everything would be closed, but that church was open, but they just had a sign that said, you know, stay a meter apart from everyone, but they were still open to visitors and they were still very friendly. And it was a beautiful church. It had beautiful tiles and a lot of beautiful art in it.
It was beautiful.
It had the skull of Saint Valentine.
Yeah. It's the Santa Maria in Cosmedin Church.
Yes. That's what it's called.
It was beautiful. And it had like Sierpinski's triangles on the floor and stuff. I was deathly allergic to that church, though.
Started sneezing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I'm not sure if anyone's noticed, but this current time with a certain virus is kind of a bad time to start sneezing and coughing all the time.
Yeah, I would. Which, all of us would get, like, so panicked whenever we would start coughing. Or
like, as someone who just around, coughs like, a lot normally, like, it was a bit concerning.
Yeah.
So we ate lunch in the Jewish ghetto, and then we walked out of that, and we walked across a bridge across the Tiber River to like a little island in the Tiber River, and then across the bridge again to a neighborhood called Trastevere, I think is what it's called, and walked around that neighborhood. And usually that's a place that's really crowded with tourists, but again, we were some of the only people there, so we're kind of walking around the streets, and that's more of like kind of a funky neighborhood. There's a lot of street art on these old buildings and kind of very scenic streets.
Some of it's really good and some of it's anime.
And we get on a bus and we get a bus to the top of this hill, and it's got this really beautiful view, and that's where we saw the busts of the different historical figures.
Yeah, like all these most of them I think were like military heroes.
Yeah, they're like,
kind of and like these statues just of like the heads of all these military heroes.
And the top of this hill, I think it's called Giancolo Hill. It's just a beautiful view. You can see all of Rome, and it's really, really scenic.
I guess it was kind of like in Japan when we saw all those like little minifigures of like all the monks or whatever.
One of the things about Rome that's really cool is there are all these fountains, just water fountains all over the place, so you can fill up your water bottle.
Yeah, they're like spouts.
One of the bad things about that is, so water fountains are all over the place, Public toilets, on the other hand, are really hard to find.
They are so rare and so precious.
Finding a place to use the bathroom. So you drink all this really good water out of the fountain, and suddenly it's hard to find a place to use the bathroom.
We
get on top of this hill, and it's like at least a mile away from any public restroom, and suddenly one of us has to use the restroom.
Mm-hmm. And by one of us...
We mean mom.
We mean mom, yes.
I also keep forgetting that paying for bathrooms is a thing.
Yeah. Well, I would have gladly paid for a restroom.
We kind of just take free bathrooms for granted here in the U.S.
And I didn't really even see any taxis at the top of the hill.
Nope.
So we're hurrying down the hill to find a place where there are bathrooms. And then we get to the bottom of the hill. We're going to these shops asking if they have a bathroom. They're like, oh, no, there's not one here. Go to the coffee shop. And we couldn't find the coffee shop.
There was no coffee shop.
And then another person says, go to the hotel. And we're like, oh, I see a sign for a hotel. But it was like down this alley and kind of up a hill to get to the hotel.
So we go inside the hotel. I'm going to tell this because this was my crisis. Okay. Like it had been like a good hour and a half.
It was awkward for
that
all
we
of us.
Had been looking. Oh, you shush. Okay. So we had been looking for like any place that might have a restroom at all, like a restaurant, a coffee shop, a bakery. We were like, I don't care if I have to buy something. It's fine. There are no cabs. There are nothing. We're like walking past like hospital, like so many places, but none of them had restrooms that we could use. So finally, after like the third shop owner said, oh, we don't have one, but you can go to the coffee shop, which like I was looking on my map and I was looking around. There was no coffee shop.
The coffee shop. With white teeth in front of it, white plastic teeth, and none of us knew what that meant.
What the heck? I didn't know what that meant.
And they said it was like next door, and we were like, there is none next door. Anyway, so finally we find a hotel because one of them said, oh, you can use the one in the hotel probably. So we find a hotel and we go in, but there's nobody behind the desk right then. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just like look around, see if I see anybody.
There was, though.
And they kind of, Not when we came in.
He might have been behind, like somewhere else.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were kind of rounding a corner, like looking for somebody, and I actually see the bathroom, and I'm like, I can't wait to find this person. So I just run in and like.
And we're all kind of waiting there.
Okay. Yeah, and I thought,
you know, if there's a restaurant, maybe we could buy a Coke or something.
Right.
Just
anything.
And me and Henry didn't do anything there, so we'd basically just gone in there to sit in their chairs.
So I come out feeling much relieved, and like, and they're all just like sitting in the hotel lobby. And like, you know, playing on their phones or whatever. The guy's kind of staring them down.
He was just giving us like weird looks the entire time.
And he says,
well, and then we go to leave. We go to leave and he stops us.
No. And he was like, you're not guests. And I said, no, sorry. A shop owner told me to come here and I didn't see anyone. And he was like, you have to ask first. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And we just run out.
We just left. And we figured.
And then we changed our identities and moved to a new country.
Sometimes you can pay to use a public restroom, and that's fine. Sometimes you can ask to use a public restroom, but sometimes you just take the public restroom when you
And then you have to
steal one.
And then your family members have to be stared at for a long time.
Public restroom thief.
It's not like a racetrack where you just go and use the bathroom and get out. Although if it's a racetrack, you should be doing
or
more
QT,
than that.
Well,
or 7-Eleven.
We make our way back across the river.
Anyway, so
and
that's
walk
my
back to.
But that was my life of crime.
I guess there's two other things. Two other things we did that day. We walked back, and on the way back, we stopped and got gelato, and then we went and we got dinner. We went back to the Airbnb, kind of relaxed for a minute, and then we went and got some dinner, and then we got more gelato.
What did we get
for
dinner?
We had gelato twice that night. What's that?
What did we get
for dinner? There was a restaurant kind of around the corner, and they had good food.
Was it the one that was playing a whole bunch of like 70s and 80s?
They were playing like, kind of classic American pop songs.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we just go to bed. Well, there was a really good gelato place, like really close to our apartment, and we wanted to try it because we knew the next morning we were probably leaving.
Probably.
And we go to bed, and I wake up, and overnight...
Okay, we were leaving because we thought we were going to Orvieto.
Yes. So every night, like when we went to bed, we would wake up and there would be like news had happened overnight. Things had changed. Yeah. It was like everything has changed. I wake up and I've got all these messages, and there were two different kinds of messages. One was a message that said that now all of Italy is under lockdown. Previously, Northern Italy had been, and initially, it was like only the far north of Italy, the Lombard region, and then it moved to like Milan and Venice. I was like, but that's fine because we're not in Milan or Venice, so Rome is still fine. But then overnight, the lockdown became
literally overnight.
And, you know, that meant that a lot more things were closed. Restaurants couldn't be open after the hour of 6 o'clock. There were just a lot of things going on. You weren't supposed to be out in public close to someone more than a meter away. A lot of shops were kind of regulating how many people could be in the store at the same time. That was one of the news. And then the other news that we got was that Trump had gone on TV and said that he is announcing a travel ban from Italy.
That was the next day.
It was 2 days after.
Wait,
it was the day after that.
Yeah.
No.
That was the same day that they hardened the lockdown.
So this was Tuesday. The travel ban. No, we were on lockdown on the Tuesday. Right. The travel ban was on. They announced it when we woke up on Thursday.
So I wake up and I'm getting these messages that say, so Italy is all on lockdown. And I'm thinking, all right, well, we knew something might go weird. We were supposed to travel to Orvieto, which is this a little bit north of Rome. It's kind of a hilltop in the Umbria region, hilltop town. And we were supposed to have this really nice bed and breakfast in Orvieto. And I had been texting with the owner of the bed and breakfast because she wanted to know if we were still coming. And I was like, yeah, we're still planning on it. But then when I saw that Italy was on lockdown, I figured, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it to Orvieto. And I still don't know. Like, if we would have gone to the train station like we planned, I don't know if we would have been able to make it. I'm guessing not.
At that point, the trains were running, but I think you had,
to have a reason.
You had to have like a form that stated your good reason
because we
want
to go to Orvieto would have been a good enough explanation.
Probably not, no.
So I figure, I don't know. Things are getting kind of weird now. So let's just, instead of going to Orvieto, let's just pack up. First thing I did was I called the airline and I said, and it was confusing because I bought the airline tickets from Priceline. But we flew out on Air Canada. We were flying back on Brussels Airline, which was really United. So I wasn't really sure who to call.
Yeah.
So I called Priceline. I got a message that said, you know, all of our representatives are too busy to take your call, but we will call you back. Average wait time is 8.5 hours. Literally 8.5 hours. And I was like, well, all right, then I'm not really sure what to do with that information. I tried calling Air Canada, and they said it was a 2.5 hour wait.
Oh, only 2.5 hours.
But anyway, and I'm like, well, maybe what we could do is we'll just pack up the family. We were already kind of packed anyway because we knew we were going to be leaving our apartment. And we'll just go to the airport, maybe somewhere at the airport. We can get it worked out there. We'll just try to get on an earlier flight. So we get a taxi to the airport. We travel to the airport. We're at the airport for about 2 or 3 hours, and we realize this is not going the way we thought it might go because customer service at the airport couldn't help us. The airport was a little bit of a mess. There were a lot of people trying to get out of Rome, and I figure, well, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know we're probably going to have to get a hotel near the airport. So we check into this hotel near the airport. It was actually a really cute little hotel. It was run by this family. They were very nice.
We go there
and it's like maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're like, well, check-in's not till 4. And I'm like, well, can we at least leave our bags here? They're like, oh yeah, sure. We leave our bags and we go walking, and it was close because the airport is close to the ocean. She was like, well, you can walk down by the ocean. I was asking kind of where we could go get lunch. She was like, just walk down by the ocean. There are restaurants there. We stopped. There was a little bakery that had pizza. Once again, we had pizza. But it was kind of a little weird. I mean, it was a nice place. It was kind of a fun place, but it was a little weird because they were taking the lockdown very, very seriously. And you could only, there was kind of a dining area, but then there was like a counter area where you could order pizza. They would only let one person at a time into the counter area. So I had to go in there and order for the whole family. You could only have one person at a time.
And you had to stay 1 meter away from the person.
And they had it roped off like a
museum
exhibit. Like you really couldn't get close.
You couldn't walk up to the counter.
So instead you had to say, pizza, I want pizza.
And try to point.
It was good pizza, though.
The pizza was pretty good.
It was really thick.
Yeah,
it was really cheap. We got lots of pizza. Mm-hmm. We got some drinks. You guys had more Fanta. I had a Coke Zero.
They don't allow
I was happy. So we eat our pizza, and then we're walking down by the ocean. And at this point, Mom makes the suggestion, well, maybe if you tweet Priceline. Maybe they'll call you back.
Which was a weird suggestion.
It's a pretty good suggestion. And I got a response saying, well, tell us your situation.
Because they're afraid of public shaming. Yeah.
Yes. And I actually got a call. We were walking down this road along the coast, and I was talking to this customer service person, and they told me, oh, well, great. I can get you on an earlier flight. We'll waive the change fee. All you have to pay is the difference between your airline ticket and the new airline ticket, which is $35,000. I was like, that's wait, all. What?
But they'll waive the change fee.
$36,000.
It was
$9,000 per person.
$9,000 per person. So a total of like $36,000. So it was like, do I want to send my kid to college or do we want to go home two days earlier?
Well, I'm going to have to graduate.
I was like, well, that's ridiculous. And I was still thinking in my head, like, the plane over here was empty. Surely there's room on this plane. Why are they selling these tickets for such a ridiculous amount? And that was discouraging. But we go back to the hotel finally. You know, I actually talked to someone at Air Canada.
Who,
they
by
said
the way,
it was going to be like $18,000, which is an improvement, but not that much of an
improvement.
Okay,
no.
Still
although I have
Apple
to say,
to
yeah. but I have to say, the person who said that, like, he was like, especially compared to like what you usually hear, he was super like non-artificial, like.
He was super chill and empathetic sounding.
Yeah.
And he was like a French Canadian guy.
We can get you on
this
flight.
He was like, oh, that's really tough, man.
Yeah.
But like, man, he still, he still couldn't really help us.
It was a lot of money. And then we decide, all right, well, clearly we're not making it back. So what do we do now? And our thought was, well, we're in Italy. We're going to be here another couple days. Let's just take a taxi back to Rome. Our second Airbnb had canceled on us, so we couldn't go to that Airbnb. I don't hold it against the person. I think they were trying to comply with the government's orders. And we figured, all right, we'll just find a hotel. We actually found a really good hotel. Mm-hmm. Took a taxi back to the hotel. The hotel was called the Hotel Fontanelle Borghese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I highly recommend it. The people there are really,
great.
Really,
so nice.
Really friendly. The location is fantastic.
It's a really cool building too.
Yeah, and it's like 5 minutes away from the Spanish Steps, so it's really pretty.
Yeah,
it's in the 16th century piazza.
By the way, we visited the Spanish Steps and it was completely empty. It was kind of cool.
The night that we accepted that we should just stay in Italy and just enjoy Italy for what it's worth, that night. We went and got McDonald's for dinner.
Yeah. Because we were still at the airport hotel. And
so
that was
the
all
airport
that was within
hotel,
walking
like
distance.
The only thing that we knew would be open that was like 5 minutes away was a McDonald's. So
we
did eat McDonald's.
The other situation we were dealing with is everything closed at 6 because of the quarantine rules.
So we knew we had to eat like before 6 and it had to be a quick meal so that we could get back to the hotel.
And to be fair, it was like...
It wasn't bad, but
it was McDonald's.
To be fair, it was McDonald's, but also compared to... McDonald's is in the U.S. It's kind of nice.
It was,
yeah,
pretty nice.
It was nice.
It like still
the inside like of the room.
Like it was clean.
Everything
and
tasted
the, food was
the same.
It tastes slightly higher
McDonald's
quality in my opinion.
No,
they had
the
some cool like baked goods. We didn't have any of them, but they have a little coffee shop with baked goods.
And they also McDonald's also has this thing. I can't remember. I think it was
the McCrunchy.
Yeah, and basically what it was is. It was an egg
an
English muffin, and it had Nutella on it.
Yes, the McCrunchy.
The McCrunchy.
That
bread.
Was it. Which apparently Nutella is Italian.
Despite McDonald's high qualityness, I think it tasted especially mediocre, just because like we were in Italy and like compared to everything else,
yeah,
it was just
that's
so
cool.
All the other food we ate was so delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the next morning we had a really good breakfast in the hotel. The owner of the hotel served us this really delicious Italian breakfast.
Set this elaborate table.
But anyways,
we were the only guests at his hotel, so he was...
Yeah, going all out for us.
But anyways,
love that
our new hotel that we found...
Was fantastic. We liked it. The people there were super friendly. Mm-hmm. And then that day we woke up and we were like, all right, well, we can still walk around Rome, I think. So we woke up, we walked... to a part of the city we hadn't seen before. We walked across the bridge to see the Castle San Angelo. Another castle, really cool looking, walked around it. We walked over to the Vatican City, and usually the Vatican City is like the most one of the most crowded places in Rome because it's a place that everybody visits.
I mean, technically, it's not in Rome. It's technically its own country.
Its own country, but it's kind of surrounded by Rome. And we walk over there, and there was a the public restroom just outside the gates of the Vatican is the most beautiful public restroom in Rome, I think.
It was so clean.
Yeah. There was a sign that said, like, you have to wait behind this line, but there was no one else there. You had to pay a euro to go in there, but it was totally worth it.
I want to know if the Pope can, like, go to that bathroom, just push, like, a secret button, and he gets his own, like...
Probably. There's probably a bathroom. Secret entrance for him.
But we walk probably in, tunnels.
And they funny. Have, like, the buildings in the Vatican were closed, so you couldn't go in St. Peter's Basilica. St. Peter's Square was all kind of closed off, but you could look into it, and you could take pictures, and you could see what St. Peter's Square looks like with no one in it.
Yeah, I got a ton of pictures like that, and it was kind of amazing.
It was pretty cool.
There were actually a surprising amount of people. There were a lot more people than in Rome, but still, like, it was pretty much empty.
We got to walk across an entire country that day.
Yeah, we walked We walked kind of through the Vatican City, and a couple of priests that were visiting from the United States, American priests, stopped us and talked to us, and they had been there for a few months. And they were a little bit bummed out about the fact that everything was closed, too, but they were telling us, you need to come back because it's really worth seeing. And they were super friendly. And then we walked out, and we kind of walked around the walls to the Vatican. We walked over to a place kind of on the edge of that part of town where they had really good cannolis, a cannoli shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had cannolis, and they brought us hot chocolate and cookies to go with our cannolis.
I think it was you.
We were so sugared out after that.
We didn't order the cookies. Brought us cookies.
I think it was you and Mom's hot chocolates that were like so thick that they were basically pudding.
They were like pudding. You could scoop. You could spoon it up.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't drink them without it.
But you could spoon it.
Spoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get gelato, but you guys were like, "No, we're so full, we can't."
Wait, I thought that was a joke.
I wanted gelato. I was not joking.
If only that was a joke.
Out of all the ice cream related vacations we've had, we had the least amount of ice cream on this one.
Yeah,
because we had others.
Really weird.
We had these really big cannoli that were really good.
Hot chocolate.
Should've and then we walked. Gelato. We kind of walked back across town. We walked to the Spanish Steps, and we took pictures of the Spanish Steps with no one on them.
Yeah,
which is really unusual.
And it was at sunset too, so it was kind of beautiful.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
We ended up getting some takeaway food from a little restaurant. In this really pretty little plaza near our hotel. And we had to hurry and order takeout because they were about to close because it was almost 6 o'clock. And it was just really interesting to walk around Rome, these places that are usually just full of tourists and Romans, but it was just empty.
It was empty. It was quiet.
Kind of beautiful.
You could hear church bells. You could hear birds. You could hear fountains.
It was a little creepy, but it was also kind of beautiful.
That's funny. Meanwhile, my friend Ben, he's been on the podcast a couple times before. Meanwhile, he was just texting me like, oh yeah, church just got canceled the next like 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
That's strange.
Yeah. Like at that point,
everything was happening and here too.
So then we go to bed that night, and that's when overnight again, everything changed. So I wake up and I've got all these messages from home saying, are you okay? I heard that Italy is under tighter lockdown. So two things happened. One, the lockdown got even tighter. And two,
this was when Trump announced the travel
President
ban.
President Trump went on TV and announced a travel ban, from that people wouldn't be allowed to travel from Italy to the United States. And I guess when he didn't give all the details. But later the details came out that it doesn't apply to U.S. citizens and
we can come home. Yeah.
And it wasn't going to take effect actually until the day after we're supposed to.
But meanwhile, This was Thursday morning. We still had our plane tickets for Friday morning.
Yeah. So we still have a day in Rome.
We were crossing our fingers that our flight wouldn't be canceled, that nothing terrible would happen there. But also the tighter lockdown meant that they wouldn't allow us to just go walk around and take pictures and look at things anymore.
Which was our plan, just to go to another part of the city we hadn't seen yet.
And all restaurants were closed. No more restaurants either.
So all restaurants are closed. The only thing that was open was grocery stores and drug stores. And if you were leaving your house, only one member of your household was supposed to leave at a time. And you were supposed to go directly to the store, buy what you need, and come directly back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and they were only
spending...
letting like a couple people into the stores at a time, too.
Yeah.
They had you wait in line a meter apart to get into the store.
And Allison had the brilliant idea the night before. She and I walked around the town a little bit after we had kind of put the boys in bed just to kind of walk around a little bit. And we walked to like a little, they have these little mini marts that are kind of like
convenience
really
stores.
Small convenience yeah. stores.
This was before and the time bought,
I
walked in.
We bought a few snacks and we bought, Allison had the brilliant idea of buying a deck of cards.
Oh yeah.
That kept us sane.
Yes. So we had a deck of cards. We had some snacks. I went to the grocery store across the street. The hotel served breakfast, and then I went to the grocery store across the street to buy us some lunch. But we basically spent that whole day playing cards and being on our phones and just relaxing at the hotel.
Yep.
Someday, when the interviewers ask us for inspiring, like, quarantine refugee story, we'll be like, they'd be like, how did you make it through that far? And I'll be like, well,
deck of cards.
We played Go Fish.
We played Gin Rummy.
Liar. I watched some movie reviews.
We ate some lasagna.
Yeah. Can we?
Also, we had a really, our hotel was so great.
They were very nice. They let us use the dishes in the hotel to eat our food from the grocery store.
Including microwave lasagna, frozen microwave lasagna from the grocery store. But there was a pretty view out the window too. So
yeah,
like
we could
none
look
of
out the
window.
None
of the windows.
We could see the pretty Roman street from out our window.
Yeah. None of the windows had screens. So I would just like when things would get stuffy, I'd open up the window.
And luckily the hotel was kind of a relaxing place. So it was a nice place to just chill. There was a little living room area. We talked to a couple of the other guests and we just kind of relaxed. We knew we couldn't really go anywhere, but we just knew it was also our last day and the next day we'd be heading to the airport.
Yeah.
I was a little stressed, a little anxious. I don't know if you guys were, but I was worried, are we actually going to make it back to our house the next day? Because the next day was wake up super early in the morning, travel all day long, and make it home, not super late at night, but to us it would feel really late because we've been traveling all day long. And I was concerned. And the next day we woke up and we decided to leave for the airport even earlier than we normally would have. So I think we left at like 5:30 in the morning for a flight that was supposed to be around 9 o'clock or even like 9:30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good thing we did. We got there before they had even opened the gate, but we were like close in line. There was a bunch of paperwork to fill out. We were supposed to fill out this paperwork to see if we had like symptoms, if we were sick. And security was a little slow. Our flight was a little delayed, but other than that, the flight was fine. And the flight back was fairly full. It wasn't packed, but I would say it was like 90% full.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people leaving Rome, trying to leave Rome. We saw some missionaries that made us think of Phoebe because she's on a mission. There were missionaries leaving Italy, to go home. And everything went actually pretty well that day. We flew on this big jet from Rome.
Which was surprisingly packed.
My first concern was, are we going to be able to leave Rome? And they had thermal scans. I don't know if you guys realized that.
But they did.
Thermal scans right before you got on the plane to see if you had a fever. So they made you stand there while they did a thermal scan. And then you got on the plane. We got on the plane. Plane took off. We had a little bit of a bumpy landing coming into New Jersey. But the plane landed. Our flight out of New Jersey was a little bit delayed, but there wasn't any special security when we arrived in America in the Newark airport near New York.
No security and no instructions, no like
advice.
Yeah, it
was just a normal flight. Like you get
we
off
just
the
got
plane.
Off of our
also,
flight from Italy and they
like
let us loose.
There's like a huge window, like you could see from our airport, New York, like New York City.
Yeah.
And like the Empire State Building.
There was a security guard there that was like really loudly singing like 50s songs.
So we get on our plane. The plane was a little delayed. It's a smaller plane than from Newark to Dallas. We make it to Dallas. It was we get our car, we drive home, and we made it home. And then the next day I noticed, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in the news they said the next day is when they instituted these much more rigorous screening at the airports that were getting international flights from Europe. And
yeah,
there were people that were like packed for hours, like shoulder to shoulder,
going through
just
customs.
Trying to get through customs. There's no way we would have made our flight if it would have been that way, but we got really lucky. So I kind of feel like, have you guys ever watched like old surfing videos or like surfing movies? And they show like a really good surfer. If there's like this huge wave, a really good surfer will be like, they're in the tube, like, just ahead of the wave, and they're surfing and the waves like crashing behind them.
But that's they're just like barely ahead of it the entire time.
On our vacation the whole time. So we were just like one step ahead of this tidal wave that was crashing behind us.
And I gotta say,
we got extremely lucky.
Yeah. I gotta say, everyone who was like sending us back stuff, like, hey, I hope you guys are okay. If any of you guys are listening, then you guys are awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your wishes and your prayers. Because our vacation, do you guys have anything to regret about our vacation?
Not really.
Would you do it again if you had, like, if you knew how it was going to turn out, would you?
Really, like, we saw the Pantheon, the Spanish Steps, and the Trevi Fountain, and all this stuff in the morning to the Fatherland.
When I think it all comes down to it, on our way back on the flight, I had stroopwafel for the first time. And if I hadn't gone on this vacation, I would have never had stroopwafel.
They have stroopwafels. It was kind of overrated. You could walk to get a stroopwafel right now if you weren't in quarantine.
And I'd say it was worth it.
Stroopwafel's pretty good.
I think about it this way. Like, if we hadn't have gone, none of us would have ever gone to Rome. We might go someday, but we can't say that we went to Rome. I actually had a really good time there. I think everybody enjoyed our trip. There was a lot of stress.
Yeah.
It was a little stressful.
It was a little stressful. That one day when we went to the airport was not that much fun because there was so much stress involved. It wasn't the worst day in the world, but it wasn't a fun vacation day.
Sometimes when I start thinking about that day, I just stop myself.
I will say it.
Yeah.
The normal parts, I don't know why, but like for whatever reason, I couldn't really get myself to be like super excited about this vacation. I guess I didn't really know like what the like Rome experience would be like.
Mm-hmm.
But like the stuff that was just normal was really fun.
Yeah.
That first day was great.
Just walking around, seeing things. It's such a beautiful city.
I was looking forward to seeing some of the museums, especially at the Vatican and also the Borghese, the Villa Borghese Gallery with all of the statues in it, the Bernini statues.
And everyone we met was super warm and friendly.
But it was, what we did see was awesome. And if there's, I mean, Rome is not a bad place to just be walking around the streets and looking at things. Because there's so much to see.
Since we've left, honestly, it's gotten a lot worse because the disease, unfortunately, has hit Italy really hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then since we got home, and maybe we'll talk about this on the next podcast. So for the last week, we've been quarantined, which at first we were like, well, this is going to be really strange for us to have to be quarantined. But then we realized everyone essentially is quarantined because school is closed, businesses are closing,
churches,
people aren't able to go to work,
closed.
Churches have canceled their meetings, you know, a lot of restaurants are closed, businesses are closed. So essentially everyone's kind of in it together anyway. So we are keeping to our house. We're being very strict about the quarantine.
And it's not as bad as being quarantined in Italy because we have Minecraft.
The one thing that's different is at least we're home and we know we have each other and we're here where it's safe. And I was concerned, are we going to make it home? And it's a good thing we left when we did. If we would have waited another few days or another week, it would have been a much different experience. So we're very blessed and lucky.
And I got to say,
it worked out the way it did.
This is a bit of a slow burner, but I was secretly kind of hoping that what was happening to us would happen to everyone. So that way,
just that everyone would get stranded.
For one thing, like,
or
they can relate.
For one thing, there's like certain reasons why kids in high school like tend to not go to school for like multiple weeks in a row. And I didn't want people assuming things there.
That you've been expelled.
Mono?
You've been expelled
mono.
Because you did something horrible.
Yeah, or like suspended or whatever.
Suspended. All right. I immediately think mono.
That's one of
the I don't know what that says about me.
It was a bit of a slow burner with all the information coming like day by day. But
literally every 2 days something came out about Italy.
It does legitimately feel nice when you hear other people being like, I hate this quarantine. I hate not being able
to
go to school.
You can relate to them now.
Yeah. E-school.
It's not just you. It's everybody.
Oh, by the way, we also have e-school. Nice. That's the thing.
Which isn't to say that I'm not glad that, you know, that it's necessary to do that at all. But I'm not sorry that we went either. Like, honestly, the timing, it was a little stressful, but there were some moments that were like absolutely magical, and it was beautiful and it was amazing to see all of those cool places without any crowds.
And it's a memory I think we'll always have, like this really unique, interesting vacation that we had that everyone's going to remember when it was, because it was during the pandemic of 2020. And it was right at the beginning of it, and it was at this real crossroads. And by the time we got back to America, like everything in America had changed, and it continues to change. And, you know, we're going to make it through this, but it's a little bit of an anxious time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, and I mean, I have to say, when we got back to America, I was like, well, this is the quarantine? Yeah. Like, and this is a week quarantine.
Now I'll always know to just have Biscoff cookies instead.
Oh, Biscoffs are the best.
Yeah.
Stroopwafels are better, in my opinion.
Eh, I don't know.
So that is our story of our Rome vacation, of the coronavirus, and why we are now in quarantine. Very topical. It was a good time. It was a little bit of a scary time, but we're safe and healthy, and everybody's back. And there is only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
I was a little afraid we wouldn't get to do a treat yourself today because I didn't have time, or not that I didn't have time. I was not able to go to the store to buy us any treats. Didn't have any treats delivered. And I was looking around the house and I realized we've had these sodas for a long, long time. These Jones sodas.
Are they expired or something?
One is green apple soda. What's the expiration date? One is birthday cake flavored soda.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about this.
What's the expiration date?
And what's the other one? Berry lemonade soda. I have no idea what the expiration date is, but I think it's been maybe a couple of years we've had it.
No, not years.
I don't know. There's
months.
A little code on there, but I don't know what the code means.
This will be a fun science experiment.
I don't know if it means like, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if they're still good. Maybe they'll be nasty.
They'll probably be good.
Maybe they're already nasty.
I don't think they'll be flat because they are sealed.
Really?
Should we try them out?
I mean, this sure is an interesting podcast.
All right. Let's all try. Which one should we try first?
How about this one? It's already in my hand.
Birthday cake soda.
This is going to be horrible. Like, if I already didn't think that... If it wasn't, like, super...
I don't even know what to think, honestly. I have...
Even if it wasn't super old, like...
I don't even know what my expectation should be.
Get to use that sound effect.
Yeah, it's worth it because you get to play that drop.
Is it really the... Oh,
that's will nice this kill us? Yeah. Because it is years old soda.
It's months old. It's months old, I swear.
It's not months old. It's at least years old.
Oh, it smells fine. Well, yeah. I mean, it's been here since 2019.
It might taste like, I think like 6 months. But, you know.
I think it's older than that. I could probably figure out how old it is.
Cheers. Kind of just,
okay.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It reminds me of something.
I'm not sure alcohol tastes like, so this could be fermented.
I don't think it's alcoholic.
Probably not, but...
I think it's just soda.
You never know.
I feel like if it was alcoholic, then we'd know. That's pretty good.
It tastes like blue coconut.
It does taste like blue coconut, doesn't it? That's kind of flavor it tastes like. A little bit like a blue coconut snow cone that's melted.
This feels unfair to even judge, because we have no idea how it tasted like originally.
True. It might have been better when it was fresh.
A little delicious.
It's not terrible.
It might have been terrible when it was fresh. You
never
know.
I'll give it a little delicious.
I'll give it delicious, yeah. Tastes like blue coconut.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I will give the Jones Soda Company the benefit of the doubt and say it's delicious because it's so old.
That is a solid probably delicious.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a low delicious right now, honestly.
Ages like fine Jonas.
What?
Yeah, people say it's something like ages like fine wine.
What's Jonas?
It's Jones, though. It's not Jonas.
Oh, Jones.
What's Jones?
All right, let's try the berry lemonade soda next.
Berry lemonade.
This one still has plenty of fizz in it.
Is berry lemonade even a thing?
Ooh, it's even like...
It's blue. It's like
it even has like the.
It's like electric blue.
It has the like cold steam that dry ice has, which might be a bad sign. Who knows?
I swear I've had this before. Maybe something similar to it. I don't know.
If I took a small sip and it's good. Weirdly,
this one's even more like a snow cone. It's like a sour snow cone.
It tastes like
It tastes exactly what you expect.
It tastes like those Otter Pops.
It does. It tastes like an Otter Pop.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like. Exactly. Like you melted an Otter Pop like in a
Sprite. Like the bright blue flavor of them.
Yeah,
I like it. You took a blue Otter Pop and melted it in a Sprite.
It reminds me of childhood. I feel young again.
All right. So that was blue lemonade. And the last one we have here.
That's delicious. I'm going to give that delicious.
Is green apple.
Dad, do you give that delicious?
Sure. I'll call
yum,
it delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Let's try the green apple flavor.
I have less high hopes for this one, gotta say.
Green apple is not always my favorite flavor.
Yeah.
But imagine if we read the reviews.
Let's try it.
For this soda. And it's like, it opened my third eye. It transcended you to the next dimension. We're like, seriously?
Well, maybe I mean, if you don't wait years to try it.
A year.
This smells like Play-Doh.
Kind of does.
This one I'm not so sure about.
It tastes like the watermelon.
Okay.
It tastes like the watermelon Otter Pops, basically.
Yeah.
You think it's okay?
Yep. I have a feeling you'll disagree.
It's kind of, all of these are kind of slightly weak flavors, but.
I think it's meh.
Meh. Really? M-E-H. Meh.
That's exactly what I thought you'd say.
It's not terrible, but it's not good. And that's what I think. So.
It is fake watermelon. If you don't like that, then.
Actually,
this is a little bit of an unusual podcast. We didn't do a lot of the stuff we normally do because we spent a lot of time talking about our interesting experience in Italy. Fleeing the coronavirus pandemic.
Yep.
But also having kind of a great time and making it home safe. So thank you for coming with us along with that journey. That was Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast.
This feels...
So thanks, boys, for being on the podcast with us. Thanks, Mom, for being on the podcast. She went left before Treat Yourself.
I feel like it's kind of funny, like, giving this big grand story about, like, you're in quarantine halfway through Italy, and at the end we have some soda, and we're like, it's okay.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and at TalkToDadPodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us be able to get the word out a little bit more about the podcast, so that other people might be able to listen to it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.